Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back into the early line. This is hour number two here on a Friday morning. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wright side with you. A lot of good stuff coming up. Game number four in the NBA Finals between the Boston Celtics and the Golden State Warriors, plus a full preview of today's Major League Baseball board. Some exciting stuff starting to develop really around the Major League Baseball landscape, no doubt. But let's begin by talking about the Stanley Cup playoffs and the Eastern Conference Finals were in action yesterday, a pivotal game number five in Madison Square Garden. A Rangers team that had won eight consecutive in that building, booked for the third time in this series as a home dog, cashed the first two tickets, not as fortunate in their third go-around as the Lightning, after being down 2-0, are up 3-2, and now find themselves as a minus 490 to win this series. Big number on the Rangers. Certainly so. 16-1 if you want to go to the Stanley Cup odds for the New York Rangers. This has to be a devastating feeling this morning for the fans and the backers of the New York Rangers.
Yes, I mean, you're talking about losses, that which two of them the Rangers have had in this series, where you look like you were at least, worst-case scenario, heading to overtime with a chance to win, and you got those victories snatched right out of your hands late in regulation. No surprise last night, the Lightning 3-1 overall. But this is the fun that you have. When you're looking at the betting markets, Kevin, I say to you right now, and I would say, okay, 2-2 series, right? Lightning win game five, take a 3-2 lead. They go back to Tampa Bay. Most people would say, it's over. Tampa's going to win probably on their home ice. If not, you know, it's hard to win two straight games against the Lightning. They'll eventually move on. But then you look at the odds and the way they're priced for the series. The Tampa Bay Lightning at a minus 490. Is anybody saying, okay, I'm going to lay $490 right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook to win 100? Probably not. But you know what people do? You know, I might throw $100 down here, a unit down on those New York Rangers at a 4-1 price. Because knowing if you can get a win in game six, it's money in your pocket. You can let it ride, or you can hedge out and make some money. Because even though I do think the Lightning win the series, I'm really enticed, Kevin, at that 4-1 price here for the Rangers still to win this series.
No doubt. Look, here's the deal. I think if the Rangers are able to take game six, which is not going to be an easy task, you know, you should feel good about them going into game seven. They will be a dog in that spot. But listen, they've been dominant at home. Yeah, they let one slip. It's tough when you put yourself in a position that you need to go unbeaten at home in order to win a series, but you have dropped one. If you can grab a road game back here from Tampa Bay, again, they should feel good. And you talk about, right, price adjustments. 4-1 would turn to no more than plus 115 when we talk about what a game number seven money line would look like. And again, you want to talk about big prices. 16-1 to win the Stanley Cup. I mean, what's the Colorado series price if the Rangers do advance? At most, minus 300. And I don't even think it would be that high. I think it'd be closer to about a minus 250 range. 16-1 to win the Stanley Cup. The number does jump out, DRS.
It does jump out. And again, that's why we talk about handicap, because if you're saying right now, the chance of the Rangers getting to the Stanley Cup Finals, slim, and then being the Avalanche after, you know, overcoming the Tampa Bay Lightning, probably even slimmer. But that's why those odds are placed out, Kevin. It's not like, hey, just pick the Rangers to win the Stanley Cup at a plus 100 price. These are big numbers. And again, we get back to that NCAA betting, Kevin, where you say to yourself, you don't necessarily have to pick the winner of the tournament. Just have them advance far enough where you can guarantee yourself a profit.
Radio audience is entering the fold here as we are live on a Friday morning on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wright side here. As we move over from the Stanley Cup playoffs, let's talk about the LIV Golf Tour. Look, here's the deal. Right now, there is a LIV golf tournament going on. There is a PGA tournament going on. Which one of these is the main story in the golf world? We've talked about, you know, the comparisons, right? XFL, USFL. The XFL or USFL has never been the predominant storyline over the NFL when we talk about their recent iterations. Not even close, despite the NFL being out of season. The LIV Golf Tour is the premier story. Their tournament's underway. And also the PGA does, to some degree, feed into it, Donnie. They suspend 17 golfers. They're kind of putting their flag in the ground saying point of no return. But I don't think the Phil Mickelsons and Dustin Johnsons of the world are worried about it. I think they're ready to rock here, again, with the LIV Golf Tour.
Yes, and also like a renegade, you know, tour or team comes into play, or even a league, right? If you take a look at the Philadelphia Eagles, I love the Philadelphia Eagles. If they lost five players to the XFL, you know, I'd still love the Philadelphia Eagles. But if I'm a golf, you know, I like to watch golf and sit down. Who's my favorite golfer? Phil Mickelson. He leaves for the LIV Golf Tour. I'm going to go with Phil Mickelson at this point. So there's a big discrepancy between leagues that actually try to start up, because they're not trying to take your favorite team away. Your favorite team is always going to be in that league. But if your favorite golfer like Tiger Woods never appears again on the PGA Tour, you know what you're watching? The LIV Golf Invitational from now on. That's where they have the advantage here, Kevin.
It's true. Look, there was a lot of people watching that opening day. It was streamed across a couple of different platforms. On YouTube, you could see there were over 100,000 pretty much all day long for that opening round. We'll see how that continues. Phil and Dustin Johnson, I believe, were both inside the top 10 after one day of action. The RBC Canadian Open is ongoing as well, but the main storyline basically coming out of that tournament is the most preposterous seeding setup in the history of sporting events, or maybe really any events in the world. The sky seats, Donnie. Donnie, is it true that you're going to be trying to purchase a pair?
I'm telling you right now, if there's guys watching behind the scenes with robes and coffee mugs want to put me and KW up a few hundred feet to do a show, let's do it. Why not?
Yeah, it's coming sooner than later.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Like the opportunity to kind of reset the state, if you will, of Major League Baseball. How are things lining up? Does it feel like the offenses are there? Yesterday, there were some huge games on the board. 17 runs in that Yankees game, 20 runs in the Dodgers game, 11 runs, you know, with a big performance. Honestly, Steven Strasburg, depends who you are. If you were betting on the Nats to win the game, he wasn't great. If you were betting on the strikeout prop over, the guy was an absolute marvel. Where are you at right now? When you're looking at a daily baseball board, close to team totals, not close, what is the read right now on a daily basis?
Sometimes it depends. Like, there's a full card. Yesterday wasn't a great day for team totals or betting from my perspective. Still ended up going 2-1, which I'll take every single time. You give me 2-1 every single day, you know, we're going to be living good here. But as I look at the card today, overall team total-wise, it's not a great day. Even though on Fridays, you're going to get the maximum amount of games because everybody plays Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Sometimes it just lines up. But also keep in mind, when I say that it's not that good of a card, it's still way better, Kevin, than what it was in April. Because I'm looking across the board, and it used to be, well, the pitchers and the lineups don't match up all that well. Well, how about the weather? Oh, look, 46 degrees in the wind blowing in. Rain in this forecast. Flurries over here. A game played in Miami. A game played in Seattle. You're like, come on, man. You're not giving me enough. But at least now, where you have those borderline games, Kevin, I take a look and say to myself, well, how about this? 82 degrees with the wind blowing out. That might be able to push me over. But also, taking a look across the board at Major League Baseball, it does seem like, I don't know if the hitters are catching up, it's just the weather's getting better, or behind the scenes, Major League Baseball said, we're headed for disaster unless we juice up these baseballs a little bit more than they are. All three of those could be combined, but it does look better and better every day because it looks like those hitting statistics are starting to come around where you can at least take one of those leap of faith by saying, I think tonight this team's going to hit, as opposed to saying, I know they're not going to hit, and I'm still going to bet it hoping they do.
But tell me, so what is the like, is it today it's just like a lot of good pitchers are going on the mound? What's the holdback point right now? Is it basically still a lot of these lineups can't shake how bad the beginning to this season was?
Yes, and that's pretty much what it is. Because if you're looking at basically 60 days into the season, let's say, you're still trying to look at those overall because it's very hard to just crop it down to 30 days because then you're dealing with pitchers, Kevin, oh, I only had two starts and 6.2 innings. So you sort of have to meld that, okay, what did the pitcher do this season and then try to match it up with what the actual batters are doing over the past 30 days. Now, every time we see games that finish 13-6 or 20 total runs in there or 19 hits in a game, I love that because even if I didn't bet that game, I know over the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, those numbers are going to start to show and say, wow, look at this. This team actually has 6-plus batters, 7-plus batters. It's not just the, you know, Astros that we're trying to line up at this point. So every time we get those batters performing, I'm starting to look up like the Philadelphia Phillies. How many times have you seen me, Kevin, come on the show with a team that has bangers all up and down that lineup and bet the Phillies team total? It's very few and far between because even though they're starting to do some damage, they had such a rough start where you're saying, I just can't bet these guys. But now you're looking at some of these teams staying hot and riding that wave over the past week to week and a half, as opposed to saying, well, the odds don't match up because the first 3 weeks, Bryce Harper was very slow at the plate. Now that's not the case right now. So you're starting to able put those numbers together and say, give me 3 weeks, give me 2 weeks, give me 1 week, and try to pair it up against the pitchers going off of 30 or 60 days.
Yeah, I think we're still right, what, only one team total deep, and it is nearly mid-June. So it just kind of puts into perspective, I think, how awful the start to the season was. But again, if things can keep on the current trajectory that they are, you think by July, like, things will start to feel normal around baseball, right, Ty? Is that do you have almost a target date of like a July 1, or are you just going to kind of let it play out?
There's not really a target because, you know, in the past, as I like the question you're asking here, because in the past it was, okay, we start in May because the weather gets better and everybody gets out of their doldrums. And I don't know if it was a case of, you know, we started in a lockout, so a lot of guys were eating like pizza, chips, and drinking beer. And, oh, I got to get down the spring training now and get the season started, along with terrible weather to start out and humidors in every stadium. So we're trying to get that feel of the new Major League Baseball. But if you see now, like yesterday, again, the day before, I took the Marlins at a 4.5. Like, that might as well be 9.5 to start. Like, 4.5 for the Marlins. They're lucky to get 4.5 hits in a game. They covered that fairly easy. Yesterday, the Cleveland Guardians, 4.5 again. I took it. They scored 8 runs in their game. So even those lower-level teams now, they're starting to come around, and you can bet those. But also, when you see the lines where it's like, oh, we can get a 2.5, 3.5. Now we're starting to see the 4.5s and the Yankees getting those routine 5s, which is what we're used to seeing. But if we look at the card overall altogether today, there's XFIP minus numbers that I like. About half the pitchers on the card today with 20 or more innings, Kevin, they're below that 100-yard, I should say, that 100-point marker, which goes to show you half of the pitchers today are actually very good. Half of them, so-so at this point. There are a couple bad ones, but today looks like the pitchers might rule the day. We'll try to find some spots here.
Yeah, that can always kind of just be the point of the rotation. I'll also just say now from my own standpoint here, the strikeout props have started to work. From doing all the, you know, content that I've now done alongside Donnie, right, the discipline. Again, right, we just talked about it. We're one team total deep in. Most people wouldn't be able to resist, and they would have, you know, kind of started to climb that ladder. So I've tried at different points to add that discipline. It's hard. It's hard to do, but for whatever reason right now, I have it with these strikeout props. It's been almost, you know, nearly a month. I think I've had about 24 that have lined up. It's currently sits at 16-8 since I've been kind of, you know, applying this new little strategy that I have right now, which has been nice. It's been working there. The juice matters, as always, as I know it does to you when you're trying to bet those team totals. So we're going to look to try and, again, kind of keep that momentum going. But still on a daily basis, we can always break these games down. We have enough time to at least bring in one game. We have plenty of time to break down the full baseball board. Don't worry about it. Brewers and Nationals, Milwaukee needs one here, right? This is, though, spots like this always stand out to me because who isn't going to look to trust Milwaukee, right? Bad Nationals baseball team Brewers are due to bust out of a slump. Minus 180, you know, range, though, now, as this number's been climbing all morning long. And that run line, you're going on a minus number. Are you looking to back Milwaukee, though, here in Washington?
I am looking to back Milwaukee in Washington, and maybe not on that line of Relay, minus 180 or even a team total. But if we're taking a look, and this is what we talk about, you know, player recognition. Shane McClanahan down in Tampa, who is that? Never heard of the guy. Yeah, he might be the best pitcher in baseball this year. Well, watch out here for the Brewers, because you take a look on the card today. If we have 20, and I always like to use this because you don't like the guys like, hey, a great start over four innings. They say, well, he's the best pitcher on the card. No, you can't do that. So as the season moves along, you sort of raise that bar. Right now, I'm losing the 20 innings minimum. So if you haven't had 20 innings on the season, I'm not handicapping your game. But if we do that and take a look at the Brewers today, the number one pitcher on the card today for me, Aaron Ashby for the Milwaukee Brewers. Wow. Get that here. A 71 XFIP minus, an ERA of around 3, XFIP of 278, and a Sierra of 302. So the reason why I'm talking about, well, they probably should win the game. You don't maybe want to lay that juice. They're a great parlay piece today because we take a look at the left-hander on the mound, which Ashby is. Just told you the statistics. Now, if we line up and say, all right, the one side of the plate that gives them a little bit of trouble are lefties here. A 404 weighted on base percentage, but you're not going to get a lot of lefties in the lineup tonight. Quite frankly, it might only be Soto and Hernandez with the other seven batters from the right side, which he has absolutely dominated. And also, this is what you always like, right? We take a look at this lineup today for the Nationals. It's a disaster. Even though it does have Bell in the lineup and Soto, you're talking about, you know, 163 ISO power number, which is the best on the team, where you want that 175 or higher to be above average. This team is a disaster at the plate for the Nationals. So a nice parlay piece to get back on track. The Milwaukee Brewers going up here against the Washington Nationals.
Yeah, it certainly can make some sense there. The one thing I'll mention as well, those divisional odds that we've continued to track. Milwaukee was a minus 320 a little more than a week ago. Minus 220 now. And that's with St. Louis, by the way, really struggling to put results on the board in Tampa Bay. It's just that Milwaukee is struggling in their own right. A half game between those two teams in the NL Central. A lot of baseball for us to preview. Plenty of games to break down. Plenty of value on that board. That is next after a quick break right here on Sports.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Make it happen here. Baseball preview continues. We started off red hot. Philadelphia Phillies are matched up with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Minus 140 range number here on Philly. Total is an 8.5. People are going to be looking to back this group with Kyle Gibson on the mound. Is it a good spot to look for this Phillies team to make it 8 consecutive wins?
Yeah, you would think so, right? Ride the hot streaks in Major League Baseball. The Phillies are certainly on a heater here coming back home where, as you pointed out, over the next 2 weeks or so, the Phillies' schedule does get advantageous. But you're going up against a pretty good pitcher tonight in Zach Gallen. XFIP is a little bit high, but he's dominated, Kevin. If we take a look at just his weighted on base averages from the lefty and righty perspective, to lefties a 226, to righties a 267. And how about those ISO power numbers, which are probably going to get some pretty good weather tonight in the city of brotherly love, a 135 to lefties and a 093 to righties. So we flip it over to the other side here. Getting good pitching this season from Kyle Gibson. XFIP manageable, but he also has done very good against lefties and righties. Now, the one thing that I always like about the Arizona Diamondbacks, particularly when they go up against a right-handed pitcher, is the ability to stack constant left-handed bats in the lineup, whether by true lefties or switch hitters. Tonight is going to be no difference. And to be honest, this might be a first. And this is tremendous. And I don't know, to be honest with you, if this has actually ever happened in Major League Baseball. Maybe Arizona has done it. We're expecting all 9 batters to be lefties tonight against Gibson. I don't even know how that's possible. Like, how many people in like the United States or in the world are even left-handed as it is? But I'm looking at every single batter. That's fascinating to me because if you look at those splits, Gibson, the right-handed pitcher, going against all lefties, they got some pretty good numbers here. Look at the first few guys in the lineup here, particularly the first five. ISO power numbers here, 227, 212, 183, 247, and 177. Also some nice weighted on-base percentages here. I'm not saying the right play here is just to fade the Philadelphia Phillies who are playing good baseball, but I got to tell you, 9 lefties in the lineup, That certainly piques my attention here. I don't have the team total up for the Arizona Diamondbacks, but if we're those Phillies backers that we take a look at and say to ourselves, all right, sooner or later, that bullpen's going to run into a little bit of trouble. Maybe if you can get a 3.5 or a 4 in this game, Arizona might be worthwhile just as one of those leap of faith type situations.
I always like, though, when you get a number that's telling, right? So the Phillies team total is 4 -128. That 3.5. It's a 4 on Arizona. Now, -104, yeah. But they're basically saying, yeah, we know what you're thinking here. They're kind of prepared there. You know what I mean? Now, maybe it does fall to a 3.5. You never know how the day kind of continues. I will say, Kyle Gibson kind of meets the mold here a little bit on some of the projections, 4.5. The -122 juice is not too bad. Second most strikeouts per game as a team, the Arizona Diamondbacks. Kyle Gibson very well could meet the mark there for a strikeout prop listed at 4.5. Continuing to move through these games here, Orioles, Royals. Two titans of Major League Baseball. It's going to be Heasley against Zimmerman. Straight pick, -108 each way. Hold on a minute. You mean to tell me the Baltimore Orioles are going to flirt with being a road favorite?
Yeah.
What do the numbers tell you here in Kansas City?
Yeah, the numbers telling us some pretty good stuff, because yesterday, what did I say to myself? Two bad pitchers, two bad baseball teams, matching up here with some good weather. Let me get the over, and it worked out well. And I got to tell you, we got to be doing the same thing today. We're looking at Heasley on the season. Let me just check the look at, even if I have his XFIP minus numbers. Oh, yeah. You ready for this one? All right. This is where it gets fun, because when you sometimes you take a look at those leap of faith, we have at least 20 innings pitched here for this Major League Baseball player on the season. Heasley, when I tell you an XFIP minus, right, and I just told you to start the show, half of these pitchers are below 100, which is very good. And we talk about Ashby at a 71. That's electric. He should do well tonight against a poor lineup for the Nationals. Now, as I said, Kansas City, not the greatest hitting lineup. Either is Kansas City. But if we look at this pitcher, his XFIP minus, Kevin, a 159. So almost 60% worse than the Major League Baseball average coming into it. Now, when you try to take a look at numbers like the Sierra, which is skill interactive ERA, it puts the defense out there with you as well. If you are approaching like 4.5 or higher, it's a disaster. Whenever you get a 5, you say to yourself, I got to go against this pitcher. Heasley on the mound tonight, a 6.30. So this is one of those where you just say to yourself, I don't care who's in the lineup for the Orioles, it's worth a play. Decent weather. I think this game goes over the total anyway, but just getting these updated numbers on Heasley himself, he might be able to give up that total all by himself.
Here's it. First of all, I don't know if I've ever seen DRS laugh at a pitcher on the mound. Yeah. That right away is just a staggering moment. But you and I talked about when/if it felt like the Baltimore Orioles would ever be favored in a baseball game. Even if it's slight. Road status for the Baltimore Orioles. Man, if that's not telling, I don't know what is. We keep moving here. Marlins, Astros tonight. Man, you know, the Houston Astros have to be feeling pretty good about themselves. Even, you know, the Angels, we thought they'd be hot on their tail. Things went wrong. They paid Yordan Alvarez. He's been phenomenal ever since he got his money. Yankee fans who think paying Aaron Judge would somehow ruin him, clowns. The Astros, obviously, considerable favorites whenever you would expect them to play Miami. But Pablo Lopez has been good this year. So it keeps the number slightly in range at around -160, and the total is 8 in Houston. Is this maybe another under when we're looking at an Astros game?
Yeah, it does play out to an under, and typically the Astros this season of 2022, quite frankly, have played to many unders so far. I believe used that statistic early in the week, the best team in baseball to the under. But I got to tell you here, you don't have the best pitcher on the mound tonight between these two guys. If you take a look at Lopez on the season, now we just laughed at, you know, John Heasley's 159 XFIP minus, which is astounding. That's one of the worst I've seen this year by far. Pablo Lopez comes in at 79, ERA 2.18. How about his Sierra? 3.31 with an XFIP of 3.10. So the reason I'm bringing this up, he is better than what you're going to get on the opposite side of Luis Garcia. But, you know, as you go on through the game, wouldn't this be one that you say, okay, I have the better pitcher. Let me just isolate early in this game and just take maybe a Marlins first five innings or even a Marlins first five. I don't have the numbers in front of me, like a reverse run line where you get a half of a run and say, hey, just tie the game up after five innings. I can have this. And then who cares what happens once the bullpen's coming out. So I do think you have an under in play tonight because, again, Houston Astros typically play to unders, and quite frankly, the Miami Marlins probably do as well. And that large, cavernous, you know, ballpark they play, and even though they're on the road, I like Pablo Lopez tonight. I think he gets the job done. Maybe a first five look here out of the Miami Marlins.
+112 straight money line on Miami. If you wanted to not take bad. A half run with the Marlins, you can get it at -122 to where if it's tied after five, you would be able to cross that finish line as well. So a couple of interesting spots there for the Miami Marlins. Again, Pablo Lopez, one of those guys who's had some really nice early season success, a 2.18 ERA, a 4-2 record with those Miami Marlins who, again, still have some impressive arms on that staff. As we continue to shift through the board here, I want to make sure we bring up the Mets and the Angels because yesterday we talked about Steven Strasburg. I took a little bit of a leap of faith on his strikeout prop. The numbers matched up. I felt that the workload would be decent enough based on what they were having him go through kind of as the build-up to his return. Tyler McGill kind of fits a similar description tonight in that he is coming back from an injury. Now, we don't have the numbers yet on this game because I don't think we have a listed Angels pitcher tonight. But do you have some early expectations here when we're talking Angels-Mets?
Yeah, and also, I like to bring up the point here, too, because the reason why I wanted to talk about it, not so much from a capping standpoint and what the lines would be, but what you're going to get out of a pitcher coming back. And also, I love what happened yesterday, because it's sort of my team total angle. Usually, you're so destined to say, okay, let me pick the winner in this game or the total in this game from a side perspective. That's not all you deal with. So if you came into the game yesterday and said, oh, Strasburg really let me down. That was terrible. I can't believe I went with him. Well, if you flip it over and say, I actually won my bet. Well, how did you win a bet on how bad Strasburg was? Because it was a strikeout prop. Same thing with the team total. You could get your team beat 14-4. But if you had 3.5 team total on a losing team, that was the best handicap you had of the night, even though that team lost by 10 runs. So just opening up your eyes to different markets, to different strategies where you can actually win a bet on a pitcher who is theoretically terrible in that game. So it brings it back to this point saying, if you expected Strasburg to come back and be the old Strasburg, he certainly was that. But maybe had some effective stuff enough to get some swing and misses. But how long is he going to last? Same thing with Tyler McGill. Had a great start to the season this year. Now he's going to get a start on the road coming back. What are the expectations? Are you just say he's going to snap back and be the same form that he was back in April and early parts of May? Or is this going to be a wait-and-see approach, 50-pitch limit here, bullpen game for the Mets? Those are some of the things you like to watch out for. But also, you'll get some of this information leaked out during the day typically. Pitch count tonight, not going to go any more than 65 pitches. Or if you're watching in-game and you're saying to yourself, okay, the Mets booth here is telling us, oh, before the game we talked to the Mets manager, he said he's not going to go past the fourth inning tonight. That's some bettable information that you can use. But more than just lining this game up as a plus money favorite or a money line dog in this game, just looking at Tyler McGill and what you think he's going to come back to be tonight and getting some of that information and some of those things where they actually will tell you he's not going past 60 pitches tonight. You can use that in a betting strategy.
So this is kind of, it's a great point. So Strasburg threw, I think it was like 80 pitches or so in that last start before coming. McGill threw 53 pitches. So to Donnie's point, be very caught. Like if you're talking about a strikeout prop or if you're like, oh, I love the Mets tonight because of McGill, that is like probably, you want to talk about like over under innings, like you're probably talking about four maybe for McGill. I'll add one more thing. You might say to yourselves, hold on a minute. You guys are talking really kindly about a guy whose ERA was about 4.5. He entered that last start before being injured with a 2.43 ERA and left with a 4.41. One and a third innings, 8 earned run against the Nationals. Just a full nightmare, and then he gets injured. So McGill was really, really good for the most part when he was around. We'll see how he picks back up tonight and how much actually he's allowed to go out there. Pause the baseball board. Up next, it is game number 4 in the NBA Finals here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
State Warriors as a four-point favorite, minus 168 on that money line. Let's get straight down to business here, Donnie. I expect the Boston Celtics to win. As per usual, when you expect a team to win, don't be scared of an alt line. They were able to cover in game number three, and they won by 16 points ultimately there. We've talked about, you know, that double-digit status. And by the way, I don't think you would disagree here. That was a close basketball game. Ultimately, that was played between Boston and Golden State. But the games just start to get away from the opponent, really, as it carries on. I think the Boston Celtics are live to shoot it really, really well from deep as a team. And I think the Golden State Warriors' offense is live, specifically Steph Curry, to have a down night. We'll talk props specifically, but I think it's a huge night for Jason Tatum, who has still not found the rhythm from two and is due for a 35-plus point performance, truthfully. I think this is Boston. I expect them to go up 3-1 here after game four is in the books.
Yeah, I think Boston wins again tonight, and it might be the square play to look at it here, but just based on what we've seen out of this series and based on where this game is being played, which is obviously in Boston tonight, this is a huge game for the Boston Celtics so they can really stamp this series and say, this is ours to win, and now we have a couple games to play with. We only have to pick up one victory over the next three. But if we're looking from a betting standpoint, if you're trying to line this game up, Kevin, and you say, okay, first quarter, second quarter, probably going to be Boston, feeding off the crowd. But the one thing that we do know, for some reason, you know, the halftime adjustments, I guess, by Steve Kerr and the coaching staff have been sensational because they're really a third quarter team. But if we're looking into the fourth quarter, does this have any one of those? And again, this is you're trying to line it up on some of these outside angles, right? As opposed to saying, okay, this team shoots good three-point shots, they're good at home, whatever. Take that out of the equation. Could this be one of those games where Steph Curry, where you know he's a little bit banged up, and you're down 14 points with 9 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, and Steve Kerr goes, all right, might not be our night tonight. Hey, Steph, I can't risk you hobbling around anymore. Let's take you out of this game, get you a few extra days rest, and we need you healthy for games 5, 6, and 7 if we want to win this series. So basically calling off the dogs in the fourth quarter just from Steph Curry's perspective. Now, I know it might sound like we're reaching a little bit, but I'm just trying to get that extra edge in this game of what I think might happen and try to play out those scenarios.
You know, the interesting spot is just kind of, you mentioned that square play here, right? Which, now, never know how accurate these things can be. Things change throughout the day. But right now, Donnie, it says 51% of the money is on, for the spread, is on Boston. And yes, 56% correct. Of the bets is on Golden State, right? So, I don't know if Boston kind of would be the public side. Don't you think a lot of people want to trust the Warriors to not go down 3-1? Don't you think? Because, Donnie, the Warriors, again, were favored to win this series. So if you liked the Golden State Warriors pre-series, you probably think, they're fine. They'll take this next game here. So I think this is a spot where people will reasonably disagree. I don't know if this is going to be an ante up. I just think you and I are seeing it similarly here for the Boston Celtics. And to me, it's a lot of it is also just going to be somewhat star-driven. I have every reason to believe that Jason Tatum is going to have a really, really big performance tonight. Take a look at some of his games, right? He scored 39 in Game 3 against the Brooklyn Nets. How about a 46-point performance in Game 6 against the Milwaukee Bucks? You talk about a 31-point performance in game number 4 at home against Miami. Donnie, he has been able to cross that 30-point threshold, you know, typically multiple times, actually, when so far all of these series. He has not been able to get to 30-plus yet in this series. That is my expectation for Tatum tonight. Plus 158 for 30-plus, that is what I'm seeing here. What's that player performance double for him tonight on 30-plus? And a Celtics win. Like, that's a number as well that I would be really interested on tonight for Jason Tatum. He is kind of a primary factor for me in what I think is going to line up here for a Celtics victory.
Yeah, we talk about correlation plays, and I guess it's all Steph Curry might not be 100%, coupled with the fact that I already think that the Boston Celtics are going to win this game tonight. But I got one better for you, Kevin. If we're taking a look, and again, I could be wrong. Like, Steph could go out and score 40 points. I was never really all that injured. My ankle responded well to treatment, and You know, I didn't feel it at all tonight, and I went nuts. It could happen because he's a great performer, and we'll see what if it does. I'm just betting against it. But also, how about top point scorer, Kevin, in just the game tonight? If we're fading Steph Curry, he's actually the favorite at plus 130. You talk about Tatum getting to the mid-30s. He's probably going to lead the game. How about this one? A plus 190 price on Jason Tatum to be the top scorer in the basketball game tonight. Jaylen Brown at 340, Klay Thompson 11-1. So if we're fading Steph Curry, who is still the favorite here, and if you think that you might even get Jason Tatum at 30 points tonight as being the high score and take down a plus 190 price. So I like where you're going here with Jason Tatum as one of those games where we expect it. He's set up to dominate, and let's see if he does, but also at the same time fading Steph Curry as well.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I don't know if they do matchup bets here for those guys, but if they did, I'd be even I think they – let me see if they have. Yeah, they do. Tatum's plus 118 head-to-head against Steph Curry. That's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly would not lay minus 150 on Steph Curry in that perspective there. Before we expand on props, let's talk total, because I know that that's going to be another spot people will look to bet here. 214, I didn't have a world of conviction in Game 3. I thought over. It was tough. I feel a little bit more confident tonight under in this basketball game. Mainly, I think the Warriors offensively are not in for a good performance here going up against the Boston Celtics. 105.5 for Golden State DRS. I'm expecting that under. And again, if they are over that, Boston could be in some trouble.
Yes, and I completely agree. And it just goes back to the notion where Steph Curry has been healthy this whole series, outside of obviously, you know, some late game shenanigans in Game 3, where, okay, he's scoring 30 a game. That's just to get these numbers where they are. So let's just say Steph Curry is even a little bit hobbled here. You're not really necessarily saying to yourself, okay, well, Steph scores 25 points, there's no way they can get to 105. But when Steph Curry is going and Steph Curry is launching three-point shots and making 5-plus in a game, it gives everybody else on Golden State a boost because they're usually going to be wide open as you worry about running double teams and focusing on Steph Curry. If it's clear from the jump that Steph, even though he might be healthy, but only, let's just say, 80% and use that, that means it's going to be harder for the rest of the team to get their shots off because you don't have to focus as much on Steph Curry. So I like the way you're going with this one. And to me as well, the 214, because if there's any thought process behind that you might have a blowout, that typically lends itself to an under scenario. And if I'm going to look at the 214 price, I'm more likely to go under in this game than over. And again, just getting back to what I'm getting out of Steph Curry, I'm going to read all the tea leaves, Kevin, this afternoon, from shoot around to what he feels, how he's doing, and also pregame, because you know that camera is going to find him multiple times an hour before that game starts to see what he was doing and how he's feeling.
No doubt about it. Now, as we go back to the props market, you've talked about the Steph unders a lot yesterday. We've talked about them today, whether it's the points, whether it's the made threes. I'll add another one. How do you not go under Klay Thompson, 19.5? I am very surprised that they decided to up this from 18.5. Maybe people are betting it. Look, he was really good against Denver, actually, okay? In that series, he went 19, 21, 26, 32. He averaged 26.5, actually, for the series. Well, that was the last time he's actually been able to score 20-plus in consecutive games. I don't want to say it's easy because you never know how it's going to play out, but the decision for me, with everything we're talking about here, is a straightforward one. I'm expecting Klay, Donnie, to not be able to hit 20-plus points in this basketball game.
It's interesting because, you know, if we're saying, well, Steph Curry might not be at 100%, somebody has to step up. So usually the first thought process in your mind is not necessarily Andrew Wiggins. It's probably Klay Thompson. Shot 17 times in the last game, went 5 of 13 from three-point range, did get 25 points here. So the reason why I guess they're raising that up is maybe the anticipation where Steph won't be fully 100%, and maybe Klay's going to say, okay, guys, I got to get you tonight. Instead of shooting 16, 17 times, maybe I shoot 25 times tonight because he's healthy, and maybe Steph Curry won't be healthy down the stretch, or maybe Steph even gets a little bit more breaks in between of his normal time. Like, okay, Steph usually sits for 4 minutes here. Let's sit you for 5 or 6 to see if we can steal some time out on the court where you don't have to do any more damage to your leg or your ankle. But I can see where Klay Thompson is a little bit higher than what he should be, because the thinking would be is if Steph isn't fully go, Klay Thompson's going to overcompensate for that.
The other side of that, though, is this is why I feel so good about Boston tonight. I think they're both under the marker there. I really do. We'd be remiss if we didn't talk about Draymond Green props. Whether you like him or not, this is obviously going to be one of the main focus points of this. I mean, his points prop, 7.5. The rebound prop, 6.5. The assist prop's 5.5. If you want to go points, rebounds, and assists, that number for tonight's game is 20.5. If you... I actually think I would go over points tonight. The worry would be he gets thrown out of this basketball game, which, by the way, is still on the cards here. But wow. I think he should be able, Donnie, to get to 8. He has not kind of gone consecutive awful scoring performances since kind of middle Memphis series. He should be able to get you 8 points tonight.
I agree. I completely agree with you 100%. And that's why before even looking at the points, I said 5.5. It's actually 7.5 here for Draymond Green. Can you imagine this? Draymond needs to have an unbelievable game, Kevin, to get over 7.5 points. Is that where we're at with Draymond Green? Like, this should be one of those games where Draymond has 6 points in the first quarter. Like, hey, that's about expected here for us. But the simple fact that we're worried about either Draymond Green for the rest of the series, like, he might get thrown out of this game, where it's probably like, okay, then he's probably going to be ejected for, or, you know, suspension for game 5. The energy should be there. I'm so glad, Kevin. I almost talked myself into Draymond Green props in game 3. He's going to be so amped. The energy is going to be there. He's going to want to perform in Boston in front of those fans and pull a triple-double and tell you, I was always one of the best players in the series. How dare you guys taunt me or doubt me at this point? But you're a better man than I am. I look at the 7.5. It might as well be 17.5 because Draymond Green getting to 8 points, I don't know if he can get there. I don't.
Look, there was actually a tweet. Someone had a same-game parlay from FanDuel that was going a little bit viral, Donnie. It was a, like, 7-legger. So, right, so this was from game 3. Warriors third quarter, Boston second quarter, Clay over 14.5, Poole over 2.5 boards, Horford over 6.5 boards, Celtics to win by 11+. This was 96-1. There was just one leg that let it down. Draymond over 4.5 points.
Oh, my God.
I mean, could you imagine the scene? You imagine the scene. And he fouls out, too. So you can't even, like, watch the end of the game scream. Oh, it's an ugly scene.
Shoot!
Are there any other guys? Exactly. Are there any other guys on Boston quickly that you're looking about? Look, again, to me, it's a Tatum night. I'd be a little worried on Jaylen Brown because of he's not typically been a back-to-back guy. Anybody outside of Tatum you're looking at from Boston?
Yeah, for actually a Boston perspective, you know, my guy Derek White let us all down a little bit in the last game. Didn't make any 3-point shots, didn't get his points prop. They lowered it a little bit from 11.5 to 10.5. I'm looking at him. But also, if I do think Steph Curry might not have his offensive game in order, Kevin, maybe he's more willing to be an assist guy tonight. He's listed at 4.5 here. It's juicy at -150. But if Steph Curry plays the full game and it's still a little bit banged up, maybe he gets those 5 assists tonight and cashes that ticket in.
Should be a really, really fun one to follow. No boosts yet, but I'm sure there will be some good action as for game number 4. Celtics Warriors, when we are back Monday, somebody will have won this game. It'll either be 3-1 or even at 2-apiece. Look forward to it. Before you go anywhere, you listen up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, last segment of the week here for the Early Line, SiriusXM channel 159, right here on the grid. Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh bringing that heat all week long and setting the table here for an unbelievable weekend of sports. Now, tonight we do have some NBA Finals action, which we covered all the way through, and you guys are going to want to stay tuned to the morning after and Ben Stevens as they have you covered as we set up the rest of the day on the grid. But I got something I want to talk about today, and it has to do with golf and a first look. So listen up. Dueling golf competitions this weekend, one on the PGA Tour and one on the LIV Golf Invitational. Now, I was excited to get a look at the golf tournament without actually watching it, if you get the sense. I just wanted to see how it would play out. So I went on YouTube, 100,000 plus watching it live just to get a feel. And you know what? It looked like golf out here. Now, if I can make a suggestion to the LIV Golf Invitational on how they're broadcasting these tournaments, if you do have the sound off, just put a regular leaderboard up there. I like the fact that they keep rolling it through since it's a shotgun start and everybody's getting swings simultaneously. I think that's wonderful. And the event, quite frankly, goes quickly, which is what you want to watch. Hey, if I want to sit down and watch 9 hours of golf, okay. If I want to watch 4 hours of golf, that's what you're going to get out of the LIV Golf Invitational. But just put the players' last names up there because, quite frankly, a number of the players who I do know, they're shortened down with just like the last three letters of their name. It's too confusing there. But I just wanted to see how it would actually look, and it did look like golf here. Now, pertaining to the future here and how this is going to work out for this LIV Golf tournament, next week, as you see, it goes back to the United States, and that's going to be on the West Coast. More PGA Tour golfers are going to come into the fold, so maybe a little bit of a heightened awareness here. But at the same time, we've seen it so many times in these renegade leagues that try to come in. You get those good early bumps here, and who wants to watch and take a look? And then it's followed by up lags in week 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. And then eventually nobody cares about the league overall. I don't think that's going to be the case in the LIV Golf Invitational, but we'll keep an eye this weekend. Will the eyes actually be on YouTube or will they be on the Canadian Open? We'll find out shortly here, but you know where the eyes should be next? You guessed it, Ben Stevens in the Morning After and the rest of our programming here on the Sports Grid Network throughout the day.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.